Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. It was a great opportunity to be able to worship God through song this morning. So today, what I want us to be able to do is to, and what Pastor Michael has asked me to do, is to go ahead and finish up our walk through the book of Jonah. And so if you have your Bibles, or if you want to flip to it in your, or scroll to it in your Bible app, that is fine. But Jonah chapter 4 is where we'll be today as we finish up this series that our pastor has been taking us through the past few weeks. And in this passage, we've been, throughout this chapter, we've been looking at the mission that God has for us. The mission that God has for us. And on the very first week, Michael opened up God's word with us and showed us about running from the mission. Talked about Jonah and the idea of running from the mission. Talked about how Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and how he decided to go the opposite direction, gets on a boat, has a crazy storm that comes up, ends up being thrown overboard at the end of chapter 1. And he is swallowed by a great fish. And then that kind of leads us to the second week where we looked in chapter 2 where we talked about repenting to the master and how Jonah spent the time in the belly of the fish and he calls out to God and he repents of his sin. He turns from his sin and he turns towards God and he calls out to God and God hears him and God has mercy on him. And the fish, in my translation, says vomited him out. Okay, it's great language there. Love that. He vomited him out, and he is now on dry land. God has rescued him from the belly of the fish. And then last week, our pastor opened up God's word again with us in chapter 3 and helped us to see this idea of returning to the mission and how God appeared once more to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh one more time. And so this time Jonah went, and he was obedient, and he gives a message that would not be described as a warm, fuzzy, feely message. It's more like, hey, repent or you're going to die. Like, basically, that's it. Like, or actually, I don't even think he said repent. He was just more like, in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. It's pretty much the message. And from that message, God was able to use Jonah to see all of Nineveh come to know or come to repent. All of Nineveh began to repent. The people began to repent. It goes all the way up to the king. The king ends up declaring to everyone, hey, look, we need to all call out to God. We all need to repent. We all need to turn to him. We need to put on the sackcloth. And it goes all the way down and went all the way down. And the Bible says it went all the way down to the cows. So the cows were even on a fast, okay, at this point. And that's where they were. And God hears their actions. And he sees their actions that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster that he had threatened them with. And he did not do it. And that's where we left off. And so now as we enter into chapter 4, it seems like things are going in the right direction. It seems like things are going in a positive way, and all of a sudden, it kind of begins to go the opposite direction, right? And if you ever, like, had something planned out in your mind, it was going to be perfect and smooth, and everything was going to be, you know, you had it all planned out, and then when you got down to it, it just didn't go that way. Like, for our family, it's like going to the beach, you know? Like, I got three kids, 11, 9, and 3, okay? And so for me and my wife, when we hear, like, yeah, we're going to go to the beach, we're thinking, yeah, it's going to be fun. But then we think about all the things that happens with an 11, 9, and 3-year-old at the beach, like the swim stuff and all their goggles, and you have to keep up with them all, and they're running every which way. It's not a relaxing day at the beach like we thought it was going to be. And this is kind of where we are in Jonah chapter 4, where we think things are going in the good direction, and all of a sudden it kind of goes in a different direction for a moment. So if you've now found your place in Jonah chapter 4, I want to read God's word with you. Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says this: Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this what I thought while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled to Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord asked, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah left the city and found a place east of it. He made a shelter there and sat in its shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over Jonah to provide shade for his head to rescue him from his trouble. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. When dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so much that he almost fainted, and he wanted to die. He said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Then God asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about your plant?" "Yes, it's right," he replied. "I am angry enough to die." So the Lord said, "You cared about the plant, which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. But may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals?" And then it just ends with a question. Let's get a Lord in prayer. Father, I just come before you right now, and I humbly ask you, during this time, when we have the opportunity to be able to open up your word and study it together and worship you through that, Father, I pray that you'll help us to have open ears to hear what you have to say to us. Father, I pray that you'll soften our hearts to be able to receive what you have to say. And Father, may we live out what you have called us to live out. Father, make me less that you may be more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Jonah chapter 4 takes a wild twist all of a sudden. Jonah chapter 4 starts out and he is furious. Now, I mean, if you really look at this passage, I mean, Jonah's like, he should have been like super happy. He should have been super excited. I mean, the whole city repented. The whole city turned towards God, and God relented his anger and wrath towards Nineveh, but that was not the case. Like, I'm thinking, like, if I'm Jonah, like, I'm thinking I'm going to go back, and I'm going to hang out with all my other prophet buddies, and we're all going to be sitting around, and I'm going to be listening to them tell stories about things that they've done, and I'll just be sitting back waiting and listening, and then all of a sudden I'm like, let me tell you what God did, what I was able to see. The whole city repented, right? Yeah, it's like, that's where I think I would be. Like, you know, giving high fives, you know, expecting some pats on the back, maybe a chest bump or two. I don't know. Like, that's just what I'm thinking about when it comes to where Jonah would be. But Jonah goes the opposite direction, and he becomes furious. He becomes upset. He becomes angry. And the reason that he becomes angry is because he missed the mission. He missed the mission that of what he was there to do. He missed the mission of what he was there to do. Now, the very first week, our pastor showed us, for us, what our mission is. Jesus laid out our mission for us in Matthew 28, where he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them everything that I've commanded you." And then in Acts chapter 1, he tells us to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus has clearly laid out for us what our mission is. Jonah had a mission. That mission was to go to Nineveh to preach against it. He did what he was told, and he was not happy then with the results. And see, the thing is I think that sometimes Jonah's response to the mission is sometimes our response to the mission. And so what I want us to do this morning is, first of all, I want us to look at two ways in which Jonah responded to the mission. And the last thing I want us to do is see how that then affects our response to the mission. So the first thing that I want us to see this morning is that Jonah's response to the mission was all about him. Jonah's response to the mission was all about him. Jonah's response to the mission was all about him. Look at this again with me. He was greatly displeased and became furious. Then he prayed, and this is where I want us to see. Then he prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I thought while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Does that sound any more selfish? Right? He made this all about him. He made the whole mission all about him and what he wanted and what made him happy. And if you look through the whole book of Jonah, if anybody should have seen that it wasn't all about him, it should have been Jonah, right? The whole book of Jonah is not actually about Jonah. The whole book of Jonah is actually about God and God's work in Jonah's life, despite the fact that Jonah is a messed up guy, just like all of us are messed up people. God wants to continue to work in and through us. You see, look at this with me real quick. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." In 1:4, it says, "The Lord threw a great wind onto the sea." 1:14, "The sailors called out to the Lord." In 1:17, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah." In 17, a little bit further, "The Lord kept Jonah alive for 3 days in the belly of the fish." In chapter 2, verse 1, "Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish." In chapter 2, verse 10, "The Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land." In 3, verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Chapter 3, verse 10, "The Lord saw their actions and relented from the disaster he had threatened them with." It was all about God all along, but Jonah makes it all about him. He made it all about what he wanted and what made him happy. And the danger is that we make things about ourselves all the time, don't we? Think about it for a second. I've said this before to students, but I think it bears for all of us to think about for a second. The most selfish person in the room is all of us, right? Think about it for a second. Who thinks about you the most? It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your mom or dad. It's not your brother. You think about you the most. You think about what will make you happy the most. What will make you comfortable the most. So many times we make the mission all about us, and we miss what God is really wanting to do in and through us. The story of Jonah continues on, and he goes out and he makes a booth and he sits in the booth looking at the city, almost kind of hoping that God changes his mind about sending disaster. Like, maybe God will change his mind and I'll get to watch Nineveh be destroyed. Like, I don't know. That's kind of what he's thinking here, right? And then God provides this vine, and this weird story about God providing this vine that provides shade and then provides this worm that eats the vine that destroys the vine. I mean, it's kind of a weird part of the story. And Jonah then gets, again, upset about that, making things all about himself. And the danger is if we are not careful, we will make the mission all about us. If we're not careful, we'll make the mission all about us, when it's not about us at all. It's all about God and his kingdom and what God wants to do in and through us and what God wants to do in and through a broken people. And people who are not perfect, because I'll just tell you the truth, none of your pastors are perfect. I'm speaking on behalf of you, Pastor Scott, okay? I'm speaking on behalf of Pastor Michael, even though he's not here, but he would agree with this. Like, none of us are perfect. And if we aren't perfect, then none of you are perfect either. And the thing is God wants to use us to accomplish his mission, but we mess it up when we make the mission all about us. When we make the mission all about what we want. When we make the mission all about our comfort. We make all the mission all about our preferences. You see, Jonah's response to the mission, it was all about him. A second response that Jonah has, though, is that Jonah's response to the mission ignored God's grace. Jonah's response to the mission ignored God's grace. Look again in verse 2 with me. About halfway down, he says, "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster." Now, he's calling out. He's telling God, like, these are the things that I know to be true of you. Now, how does Jonah know these things to be true of him? Because he's actually quoting some scripture that Moses wrote down in Exodus chapter 34, where Moses is meeting now with God on Mount Sinai. After he's broken the first Ten Commandments, because he got angry, he goes back up on the mount, and he's there, and he's getting ready to receive the Ten Commandments again, and he has God appear to him, and the Lord says these words to him, and says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. You see, again, Jonah gets it, but he doesn't get it. He's quoting it and saying, God, I know that you're gracious. I know that you're compassionate, but I don't want you to be gracious. I don't want you to be compassionate. I've received your grace, but I don't want other people to get your grace. Think about all the ways that Jonah received grace in this story, right? I mean, from the very beginning, he's told to go to Nineveh, and he turns and goes the opposite direction. Now, right there, God could have just been like, that's it. But then he gives him some grace and causes this great storm to come. He gives him some grace when he's thrown overboard to be swallowed by a fish. He gives him some grace when he is in the belly of the fish and kept alive. He gives him some grace when he is spit up from the fish. He gives him some grace even when he goes to Nineveh, because Nineveh was not a friendly place. It was not an easy place. It was not a welcoming place. It was not, honestly, a safe place for an Israelite to be. But once again, he experiences God's grace. And yet, he's upset. And he's ignoring God's grace. He's upset and saying, you know what? I don't want to extend that to others. You see, God showed great grace to Jonah, and he's constantly gracious when it comes to our own sin as well. Think about it for a second. How many times has God shown us grace? What ways has God shown you grace this year? God has shown us grace in so many ways. And when it comes to our own sin, he is faithful and abounding in love. It kind of reminds me of a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18. You don't have to flip there. The words will be up here on the screen. But it says this in Matthew 18. It says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one owed 10,000 talents and was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything.' Then the master of the servant had compassion and released him and forgave the loan. The servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him and choking him and said, 'Pay me what you owe.' At this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back.' But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and he threw him into prison until he could pay what he was owed. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed, and they went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?' And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father will do the same to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart." See, Jonah ignored God's grace. We've been given such a great gift. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been given the greatest gift. You've been given forgiveness of sins. And yet, so many times, we're not willing to give that grace to others. Well, they look different than I do. They think differently than I do. They're a different political party than I do. They like a different football team than I do. I don't know. Like, it's just, we don't want to extend them grace, even though we have been given so much grace. Reggie Joyner, who's an author, he wrote this quote, and it's something that just has rolled through my mind this week as I've been preparing this message. And he says this: what would happen if you treated every person like they were made in the image of God? What would happen if you treated every person like they were made in the image of God? Now, we know that to be true. According to God's word, every person is made in the image of God. But what if we actually lived that? What if we actually treated people in that way? I think we'd be a little bit more willing to offer grace to others. See, Jonah's response to the mission was all about him. His response to the mission, he ignored God's grace. And so then today, the last thing I want us to look at is this, is that it's kind of our response. Our response to the mission is a reflection of your heart. Our response to the mission is a reflection of our heart. Look at these last couple of verses in Jonah chapter 4. Verse 10, it says, "So the Lord said, 'You cared about the plant, which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. But may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals.'" Like, I think that's just kind of, I don't know if he threw that in there as like a kind of joke. I don't know. But like, it ends in that with a question. Like, what other like letter or book or anything ends with a question, right? But this is where Jonah ends. We don't know what Jonah answered. We don't know what Jonah said. And I think, and most scholars think, the reason that it ended this way is because the question wasn't just for Jonah. The question was really for us. The question was really for us. And the question is, do you care about the mission that I have for you? Because God is saying, look, I care about all these people. I care about all these things. Do you care about them as deeply as I do? Do you care about them as much as I do? And the danger is that our response to the mission is a reflection of our heart. And the question then is how is our heart? What's our heart? Where's it at? Is our heart selfish? Is our heart not willing to offer forgiveness, not willing to offer grace? Because if we are any of those things, we're more identifying with Jonah than we are with the gospel and according to the mission that God has for us. God has called us to make a difference here in this community. That's why we're here. That's why we are North River Church, is to tell people about Jesus so that they can experience the grace of God, so that people can have a relationship with Him. That is why we are here. And so the question is for us, when it comes to the mission that God has called us to, is how is your heart? You know, I wrestled with this all week long because I was like, how is my heart? I want to make sure that my heart is right. How is your heart? Is your heart focused on all about you? Is your heart focused on what comforts you, what preferences you have? Is your heart all about not wanting to like that person because they're different than me? You see, the thing is that God has given us a mission, and that mission is to tell others about Him. How's your heart? What about this one? Are you broken over the people in our community who do not have a relationship with God? I'm not just saying like, oh yeah, that's Johnny over there who doesn't know God. But like, are you broken over the fact that there are people in our community who, according to God's word, will go to hell if they don't have a relationship with Jesus? Are we broken over that? And if we're really broken over that, then what are we doing to accomplish that? And I point the finger back at myself in this way as well. One of the things that my wife and I, when we moved into our new house just last month, one of the things that we were like, we want to be so much more intentional about the people that we live around. We want to be so much more intentional about the people that we live around. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I'm not like Scott Johnson at all, who can remember anybody's name the first time he meets them, okay? That's not me. I'll forget your name, and I apologize for it, right? And so because of that, I decided, you know what? When I meet my neighbors, I need to be more intentional about remembering their name, because I don't want to just walk up to them and be like, hey, man. You know, it's like after a while, I should probably know your name. I've lived next door to you for how long now? And so what I did was, and it was something just simple that we decided to do, we kind of made like a tic-tac-toe board, if you will, and we put our house in the middle. And then as we started to meet neighbors, we just started writing in names around our house. And so now I have the names written down, but not only do I have their names written down, but now I know how to pray for the people that are around us. I know how to pray for Ron, who lives next door to me. I know how to pray for Jerry and Lisa, who live across the street from me. I know how to pray for Amy and Adam, who live diagonally across the road from us. You see, the thing is that as we've continued to get to know our neighbors, we want to be intentional in that way. And I don't know where they are in their relationship with Jesus yet. We haven't got that far yet. But I will tell you this, is that I'm praying that God would allow us to be able to share the gospel with them, whether they're a believer or not. Because we believe that God has placed us in this place so that we can tell others about him, so that we can accomplish the mission that God has for us. Is our heart broken over the people in our community who do not have a relationship with God? What are we doing to serve people in the community to help others come to know Christ? What are we doing to serve others in the community? You know, we did a VBS a couple weeks ago, and we served our community in that way, and 10 kids prayed to receive Christ that week. It's a celebration. We can celebrate those things. We had a group that throughout this past week has been working down at Bridge of Life and putting in a floor, helping families that are doing foster care and all those different things. We can celebrate those things. We have so many opportunities that people have to be able to serve our community. Again, accomplishing the mission that God has for us here. Because I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I have a problem. And my problem is when I hear mission, I think of like somewhere far and distant. I think of like some other country. I think of like a people who don't speak the same language as me. But realistically, the mission is right here. The mission is right here. And we have to be about what God has called us to do as North River Church. You know, that's why Pastor Michael and the team have been working on this building campaign, right? It wasn't so that we don't have to meet in a school that has a concrete floor, or it'll be inconvenienced in all those things, or set up and tear down. Like, those things will be nice, like, right? Seriously, like, it'll be nice to have a permanent place. But realistically, the reason that we've purchased land down the road and that we're working on raising funds to build a building is so that we can invest in our community, so that people can know Jesus. And if we make it about anything else, and this is something that I've heard Pastor Michael say over and over and over again, if we make it about anything else, we missed it. That building will just be a tool for people to meet Jesus. That building will be a tool for husbands and wives to have marriages restored. That building will be a place where teenagers and kids will hear the gospel, will respond to it, will grow and learn and be sent out to be missionaries on college campuses, to be missionaries into the workforce, into the work fields. That's what this is about. You see, when it comes to responding to the mission, it's a reflection of our heart. So as we finish up this morning, as the worship team prepares to come back up and lead us in a closing song, I want you to just think for a moment. What would happen if we really lived this way? What would happen if you decided, you know what, I want to be intentional. I don't want the mission to be all about me. I want it to be all about God and pointing people to Him and how great He is. And so that people see that in me and they want to, not because of me or not to bring glory to me, but to bring glory to God, that they'll be drawn to that. What if we were willing to really extend grace to everyone that we meet? How would your home be changed? How would your school be changed? How would your sports team be changed? Your activities that you're involved in, students? How would our workplaces be changed? What if we really lived those things out? We're going to have a time to sing one more song and a time to reflect on what God has spoken to our hearts about this morning. And I don't know how God is dealing in your heart, and so I just want to invite you to just respond however you feel led. Maybe you're here this morning, though, and you realize, you know what, I don't understand this whole idea of mission. I don't understand, like, what you're talking about. I don't know that I'm on mission with God. Being on mission with God starts with a relationship with Him. And if you're here this morning and do not have that relationship with Him, if you do not have that relationship with Him, I would love to share with you more about how you can have that relationship with Jesus. Because when you have that relationship with Him, the mission that He will call you to and the mission that He will take you on will lead you to places that you just won't even imagine. God wants to use you to reach Parish, to reach your community, to reach your workplace, to reach your school. God wants to use you. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. And God, I was challenged a lot by this message this week as I prepared it. God, I pray that now as we enter into a time of response, Lord, I pray that You will just help us to respond in the way that You are calling us to. Not just walk out of here the same as we came in, but walk out of here different than we came. Father, help us to be on mission with You today, this week, wherever we go. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.